All right, tonight we have Brother Vong here with us and his family. We're grateful for them, Needy and the children. He'll introduce them, I'm sure, in a minute. Good to have him back. They got back Christmas Eve, I believe, and they're here for a couple months, but both of them reached here when they were teenagers. I'm feeling kind of old. I used to coach her in the volleyball team, you in football and basketball, and that's when you were much younger, and we were all much younger. I had hair, things like that. So appreciate them being back with us. Ask Brother Vong to come and preach for us tonight and give us a little update with his family. Appreciate them much. Let's give Brother Vong and his family a warm welcome.
All right, good evening. Happy New Year. I almost started speaking in Khmer a moment ago. Tend to get a little bit nervous when I'm behind a large crowd, amen? Well, this is a beautiful building, and I remember that area right there where I remember pushing several wheelbarrows and getting cramps. I'm a cramp specialist, of those of you that know me, but what a blessing it is to be in the new building. Beautiful facilities, and just very grateful to see, when you're away for a little bit, you come back and you see familiar faces. You see children that have grown up. I mean, obviously I look up to everybody because I'm a midget, but it's good to see everybody and just very thankful to be back at Pacific Baptist Church of Long Beach. And, we've been over in Cambodia. We haven't been able to meet because of certain restrictions. I believe yesterday, which is Sunday for Cambodia, we were able to meet for the third time. And what a blessing to see our folks congregate there. And, you know, it's just a breath of fresh air to be able to come to church. Amen. Don't take that for granted. Do not take that for granted. I remember having to do live stream editing and things like that. I kind of smirked a little bit, Pastor, when the technology didn't work this morning. I think there was a mouse error. Someone said there was a mouse error of all the time, right? And so, just cutting and editing video and things like that. But it's nothing like real church, amen. And it'd be great to come with the body and be able to sing and greet each other and hug each other, amen. And it's just a big blessing to be able to come to church. So I just want to introduce myself. Those of you that don't know me, my name is Sarah Vong. And you probably see us on the screen or on various prayer cards if they're still in existence, because I need to update it. We added another one to the family there. My family right over here, as a matter of fact, let's stand. Caleb, you sit down. You're not, just kidding. Let's have everybody stand real quick. Not everybody, just my family. There's my wife. Lois, Timothy, Lydia, Tad, Titus, and Tyler. And we got Lindsay and Laura there in the nursery. And I would tell you their ages, but it changes every year, so I'm not even going to try. So let's go ahead and have a seat. Thank you. And we've been serving there in Cambodia going on close to 8 years already. Man, just like that. Of course, prior to going to Cambodia, we were here working on staff, and some of you are probably still bitter at me, the demerits and stuff like that, and being called in the office and such. I worked at the school for a bit, but what a blessing to be back and see familiar faces and see the young people now getting married. They have children, and I'm still only 18, amen? So what a blessing that is. God's just really blessed our family, blessed our ministry there in Cambodia. Very thankful to serve God there. Working with a few people, discipling a couple families. And so we're excited about what the Lord's doing, even during COVID. And so glad to see that our home base is also growing. And thank you for your faithfulness. We appreciate that very much. You don't know how much it means to us to come back home and see the home church is still plugging away. So thank you for that. And thank you for praying for our family. As Pastor mentioned, we got here Christmas Eve, about 9 or 10 o'clock, I forget. We had a pretty nice layover in Singapore, the airport there, for about 23 hours. So those of you that are familiar with layovers, it's actually more fun when you have a large group and children. I'm just being facetious, okay? Just sarcasm. Come on, guys. So anyway, it was an experience, and I told my wife, hey, let's make the best of it because this is the last time we're ever going to do it, amen? And so, thank God, the trip was uneventful, and we're able to be here and celebrate Christmas Day with our family, and got to send the kids to the teenagers to winter camp, and they enjoyed it. Thank you, Barras, Pastor, for allowing them to go. And so very thankful for that. And so anyway, let's get right into the message. I only have like 10 minutes left, so let's do it. Now, you know where I'm from. You know who I'm with. Brother Dave Board, amen. And I'm not even going to close my Bible, all right? So, no. Let's get right into this. And, you know, the passage that we just read this evening in Colossians chapter 3, I like to revisit that passage every now and then because that's what that passage is what the Lord used to really prick my heart regarding going to Cambodia as a missionary. I'll be honest with you, I did not want to go. I don't want to go. I had a good job. I had a good ministry here. I loved what I did aside working with Bear Charlie. Other than that, I loved what I did. And God used verse number 2 to really pose some questions in my heart. Verse number 2, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And so, now that's not the message. I just wanted to relay this thought. We as Christians, don't forget, we're just pilgrims on a journey. And we're just passing through. This world's not our home. And so, we need to set our affection where it truly belongs, if we really believe it. And so, God used this verse to remind me, hey, Vong, where are you setting your affection? Verse number 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth. And there's a list right there. But really, the message that I want to bring tonight, it lies on verse number 13. You know, this is a new year, 2022. What you gonna do, amen? 2022, and some reason I have bad boys in my head right now. Bad boys, cops, amen. So anyway, let's stick with scripture here. By the way, I enjoy speaking English, amen. Enjoy speaking English. If I butcher it, if I mix, add a couple S bombs here and there, forgive me. But verse number 13, the Bible says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. This evening, it's a new year. Great start to a new year. You're in church. You're listening to the Word of God. I just want to admonish, I want to encourage you about this thought. Even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. People of all ages collect things, okay? The older we get, the more expensive our collection is, amen? And so, throw a couple things that people collect these days, okay? I know baseball cards, all right? What else? Parking tickets, okay? Parking tickets, you collect those, amen? All right, anything else? I know somebody who collect Batman material. I won't tell you who he is, but he's related to my sister-in-law. Or something like that, okay? All right, so any ideas? Throw around? Wigs? No, just kidding. What else? Bugs? Guns! Amen, guns. Okay? Guns. Okay, what else do we collect? Come on, talk to me. Brother Charlie? Children. Yep, I'm a collector. I'm a collector, got 8 of them. Amen. All right, hey, what else? What else do we collect? What was that? Starbucks mug, okay. Coffee addicts, that's what you collect, that's good. Anything else? Money, all right. Cars, okay. Stamps, yeah. Well, I want to talk a little bit about an individual, a man. He collects a pretty peculiar item. He is into the collection of Diapers. Diapers. Can you believe that? And so this man, what he does is, he's pretty up there. He's pretty aged. And he's got a whole set. His set is awesome, okay? He's got all sorts of different diapers. He's got banana leaves, handkerchiefs, you name it. And what he does is every individual that he comes across with generates a diaper, and he takes it. Now, I'm using, this is an illustration, it's a made-up illustration, but I want you to get there's a point I want to illustrate here. And so this man, what he does is he goes around and collects diapers from every individual that he comes in contact with. And there's small diapers, there's medium-sized diapers, there's large diapers. He collects all these diapers, and what he does is when he meets the person in whom he collected the diaper from, he reminds them about their diaper. And of course, diapers, what are diapers anyway? Well, parents use diapers for babies that do not control themselves, right? That's what diapers are typically used for, right? Children, those that can't control themselves. The illustration, kind of crude, but, that diaper represents something that that individual may have done wrong to you. And this man, in life, there's always going to be conflict. There's always going to be, someone's going to say something that will get you upset or going to do something that will disappoint you or discourage you. That's life. And so this man, what he does is he collects all those memories, those diapers, and he keeps them. And we know diapers are not to keep. Now, I know a little bit about diapers, okay? I have 8 children, okay? So I know about that. But I don't keep them diapers, amen? I discard them. And diapers are, like I said, are typically used for babies that can't control themselves. When they gotta go, they gotta go, okay? Parents desire a clean and pleasant removal of a distasteful product, all right? That's the job of the role of the diaper. The purpose is to remove the offensive material quickly, amen? Look, many people have little control of themselves when it comes to foolish thoughts, words, and actions. And sometimes you drop the ball, you slip up, you make a mistake. If that person wronged you, don't keep that diaper. People without self-control, speak sharply to you. In Cambodia, relate to Cambodia here, they steal your property, amen? How many know Brother Adrian? You know Brother Adrian? Adrian Torres, okay. Brother Adrian Torres, of course, praise the Lord, he made an awesome decision, stepped out by faith. He's quitting his job, his full-time job, and he's going to just be full-time in the ministry. By faith, Lord willing, be able to come and raise support and all that. But by faith, he's stepping up this coming year. Pray for him. But he was able to acquire some property, built a house and everything like that. But there's a little issue because he's trying to do a fence. He's trying to build his fence. But he couldn't get the back fence up because the property owner there would not budge. Meaning, he said that... one of Brother Adrian's pillars actually in his land, but it's not. I mean, the drone footage clearly shows that, hey, he's in the right, Brother Adrian's in the right. But for some reason, this guy wants that couple inches. And so they steal your property, they lie to you. People come into your life, they offend you, and then walk out. They leave that diaper there. Don't keep it. They leave behind a mess, just like a dirty diaper. So what do you do when that happens? Do you save their offense to think about it in the future? Or do you take their offense and throw it as far away as you can? You see, the word forgive means to send it away from you. Send it away from you. They drop that diaper, don't keep it. Send it away from you. Discard it. Get rid of it. You don't throw away the person who wronged you, though. You throw away the offense. And you throw it far enough to be out of your life and out of theirs. You see, today people get things mixed up. They throw people out of their lives and save the offense, just like the man saving diapers. There's a lot of relationships all messed up because they throw away the person and keep the offense. 2022. There's some relationships, I believe, that we need to restore. New start, amen? Fresh start. People will have nothing to do with the offender, but they save the offense of their diaper collection. Now, I know that the it's kind of childish, the illustration, but you know, people who can't control themselves will say something that will offend us. You know what? Let it go. Even as Christ has hath forgiven you, so do ye. I have some observations about this thought. You have to know forgiveness in order to forgive as Christ. You see, if we're saved, we know that we're forgiven. We understand the depth of God's forgiveness in our lives. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus tells Peter and his disciples about the parable of the unforgiving servants. We don't have time to read it, but in verse 21, Peter comes up to the Lord and asks, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother? Seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And then he goes on and tells the story about the unforgiving servant. That servant, there came a time that the Lord wanted to get an account of those that owed him money. And so the servant was brought in, and the servant owed his master a huge amount, an amount that in his lifetime cannot be repaid. The Bible says he owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents, an amount equivalent to $2 million. That during that time is a ton of money, okay? It's a ton of money now too, amen? And you know what he did? He could not pay. And so the master told him that, you know, told the guards, hey, take him, sell him, sell his wife, sell his children, all that he has, so that the payment can be made. And what did the servant do? He fell down. He worshiped the Lord, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Verse 27, I like that verse. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Aren't you glad that the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, has compassion on us? And so, verse 27 says, he was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Now, verse 28, right after verse 27, okay? Typically, it's like that, 27, then 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, a few dollars. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be taken by the throat if I owe you a few dollars, man. Let me know, all right? If I owe you a few dollars, let me know. He took his fellow servant by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down, begged, have patience with me, I'll pay you all. But that servant would have nothing to do with it, threw him in prison. And then when the Lord found out, the Lord did the same likewise to him. You see, this servant did not understand what true forgiveness was. And immediately he went out and sought to collect his debt, people that owe him money, and sought them out. You know, as Christians, we've been forgiven a huge debt. My sins are gone. I've been forgiven. The blood of Christ has washed away our sins. If we understand that truth, why can't we forgive those that offended us, those that have disappointed us? So even as Christ has forgiven you, do we understand how much we've been forgiven? Do we realize what is owed to us is nothing compared to what we owe to Christ? You see, we're in a generation that failed to forgive because we don't truly know Christ. And we truly don't know true forgiveness. Observation number two, God values a forgiving heart. God values a forgiving heart. In Matthew chapter 6, as a matter of fact, let's turn to Matthew chapter 6 real quick. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we'll look at verse number 19. Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Here, I've written down the wrong passage, amen? But it's good. Okay, wrote down the wrong passage. Oh, there it is. Verse number nine, I'm sorry. It's verse 6, verse 9, not 19. So after this manner, Jesus said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse number 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Verse number 12 says, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. So God, we're asking God to forgive us, knowing that, hey, I'm going to go out and forgive those that's going to offend me. And that's what Christians ought to live like. We need to be forgiving. So you see, forgiving others shows that we have a humble heart before God. You know, that's the ingredient that gets God's attention. Humility. You know, a lot of people, you know, I've been at this for a little bit over 30-something years. Let's see, how old am I? 18, 30. Okay, so I've been saved, wow, close to 30 years. I've been at this a good amount of time. I've seen folks that have dropped like flies because of this subject of not being able to forgive. Hey, just get it straight. Who are you following? Are you following God? Are you following Jesus Christ? Or are you following man? Now, of course, God sends a man to lead us. I understand that. We follow our leaders as they follow Christ. But hey, look, people are going to mess up. But you know what? Who never fails us? Jesus Christ, amen? He never fails us. And having a humble heart before God, forgiving others shows that we have a humble heart before God. In Mark chapter 11, talks about, verse 22 to 25, talks about having faith in God, moving mountains, and things like that. But it's interesting to note in verse number 25 of Mark chapter 11, let me read it for you real quick. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father, which also is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. So it's interesting to see that God says, hey, if you have this faith, you can move the mountain over here and tell it to go over there. You can tell it to go into the sea if you want. But then he interjects verse number 25 by saying, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father, which Father also which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. You see, look, having faith is awesome. But you know what? Having a prideful faith is not going to get anything done. God wants faith clothed with humility. You want to move mountains? Have some humble faith. You know, there's a lot of folks that have that I looked up to, that when I went to school with, I grew up with, man, they can tear it up. They can preach. They can serve. They can do a lot of stuff. They can sing. But there's always this one thing. There's this tint of pride. They can get the job done, but you know what? I don't know. It's 2022. A lot of them are missing. It breaks my heart. They're my friends. But that prideful attitude messed them up. And so God wants a humble heart. And, you know, when you forgive others, that shows that you have some humility. You have some humility. And so let me move along real quick here. So observation number three, I'm almost done. Not forgiving gives Satan an advantage. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, "To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." You see, when we fail to forgive, we're allowing Satan to gain some territory. And the last time I checked, this is a war. This is a battlefield. This world's not our home. There's a lot of obstacles that we face on a day-to-day basis. You know what? We don't need to give any more ground to Satan. And so let's be forgivers. The big picture is we forgive because of Christ, and we don't want to give Satan an advantage. Observation number four, and I'm done. We forgive to keep us from getting bitter. We forgive to keep us from getting bitter. Just the other day, I found out a close relative of mine is locked up since October or November. Very close to me. There's an ingredient in his life that I observed that he has a problem with, and that's bitterness. Bitterness. An individual who continually rehearses the offenses of others becomes bitter. When you keep reviewing that diaper, keep reviewing that offense, well, this person, yeah, they did this to me. Well, she, man, 2015, she did that. And you're rehearsing it. And you're just dwelling in that. You know what? You're going to get bitter. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." We forgive to keep us from getting bitter. What are some characteristics of a bitter person or bitter people? Number one, they hold grudges. Are we holding any grudges? Look, as men, okay, I'm sure the men can attest, can back me up, all right? Most men have anger problems, amen? And I guess it's just me, all right? And so, look, when I played sports, I hate losing. I didn't play to enjoy, I play to win. When I play capture the flag at winter camp, I'm going to capture that flag. Okay, even if Brother Charlie's in my way, I'm going to capture that flag. Okay, and thank God Brother Charlie was skinny back then. Amen. Don't hold any grudges. Don't hold any grudges. So, you know, as men, look, what I appreciate about men though, hey, if Brother Chuck did something to me, playing sport. Oh, wait, let's see, how many basketball fans? You like basketball? You know, when we play basketball, we'll box each other out. We'll push each other, shove each other. You know, I like Brother Two. And I remember playing basketball with him. No holds bar, man. He thinks it's football. You go for a layup, you know, just know what's coming. I mean, brace yourself. I remember Brother Ross almost took my arm out, off. Almost took my arm off, okay? And I gave him one myself, amen. So, no grudges. Not holding any grudges. So, you know, yeah, we can battle, we can do that. And then at the end of the day, we're buddies. We're friends, okay? But some guys, and probably some ladies too, okay? Man, they hold on to that thing forever, okay? Hey, don't hold grudges. Let it go. Throw away that diaper, amen? Another characteristic, this individual is not free to smile at others. You know, like that song, singing as I go along life's road, holding my grudge. No. Praising the Lord. And how can you praise the Lord if you're not smiling? And so, another characteristic, he stinks. You know, I think about diapers, all right? It contains unpleasant things, okay? And so, it stinks. So if you're holding a grudge, if you're bitter, if you're unforgiving, guess what? You're going to be, figuratively, you stink. You stink. A bitter person stinks. A bitter person cannot enjoy life. A bitter person cannot enjoy others, and others cannot enjoy him. He wastes his life rearranging and reviewing offenses. Thomas Fuller said, "He that cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he must pass himself. For every man has need to be forgiven." Hey, I'm going to need forgiveness one of these days, so you know what? I'm going to have to learn how to forgive. Because when I cross that bridge, I want that bridge to still be there, not burnt up. Bitterness is the match that burns the bridge of forgiveness. How about it this evening? Have you already experienced Christ's forgiveness? Because if you already have, you should be able to forgive. Is pride keeping you from forgiving? Let's be humble Christians. Let's learn how to forgive others because we're humble. We have humility. Are you giving ground to Satan? Look, it's a rough fight already. Let's not give any ground to him. And by the way, who? Maybe Satan is using that to get you to get bitter, that situation for you to get bitter, so that he can gain that ground. Is bitterness keeping you from forgiving? That individual that I talked about, he has that root problem, bitterness. You know, because of that root just growing, just building up in him, he got in trouble. And so, look, sooner or later, it's going to catch up to you. So as Christians, I plead with you, church family, forgive even as Christ hath forgiven you. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." 2022, brand new year. Maybe there's some relationships that you need to mend. Let's fix it. Maybe it'll take some humility for you to acknowledge that you did wrong. Let's humble ourselves and admit it. And let's get forgiveness. Let's not collect diapers, amen. Let's discard it. And as Christians, if we want to be a brighter light, or if we want to be saltier Christians, we have to get this under wrap. You have to get this under control, the area of forgiveness. And what a blessing it is to know that whatever we do, God is always ready to forgive us. But you know what? He spanks us too, so don't forget that. And but I'm so thankful for the Word of God, thankful for reminders. I don't know about you, but 2022, man, there really is a lot that I'm mixing my words. There's a lot to do. And so I'm just very thankful for a brand new year. I'm very thankful that we can live and we can serve God at such a time as this. Amen. So thankful for you, church family. Appreciate you. Love you. Thank you for praying for our family. Thank you for being faithful. It means the world. It means the world to our team and our folks there. And so let's pray real quick, and we'll Pastor, why don't you come up and close this, please?